Good evening, everyone. And bless you for being inside on this wonderful evening. I heard it's supposed to be a little nice tomorrow, too, so you'll get to enjoy then. Before worship begins, we're blessed to hear from Janet Marth Wicker, representing the Oregon Fund. Notice I said fun, not F-U-N-D. Well, I guess I just did. Anyway, welcome.
Good evening. We are speaking, I'm speaking to you on behalf of the Oregon Committee to update you on our efforts to raise money necessary to replace our Oregon console. First, we would like to say thank you. Our Oregon Fund account stands at $7,601.77 because of your generosity and thoughtful giving. Together, we can achieve our goal of the continuation of the beautiful pipe organ music this church has been privileged to enjoy for many years. We have been in close contact with the organ company, and they are continuing to update us each quarter as they are keeping an eye on the price of the console. Our initial quote of $153,460 is still accurate. Of course, the sooner we can lock in the price, the better off we will be, which is why we will be coming to you with updates as we move along. We will need one-third of the money when the order is placed, one-third once the console is custom built, which will be 9 to 10 months after we place our initial order, and the final one-third upon installation. Each installment is the equivalent of $51,000 at this time, which is why we are monitoring the price of the console very closely. We would like to have at least two of the installments in the account prior to ordering the console, which will give us 9 to 10 months to raise the final third. We have been actively raising money for this project for a little less than 2 months at this point, and are already close to $8,000. God's people in this place are truly generous with their gifts, thoughtful in prayer, and forward-thinking in their stewardship. Thanks be to God for his faithfulness. Thank you.
I better be like Joel Osteen and say, I proclaim and declare you will be receiving big gifts at Easter. If you believe it, you will receive it. The service order tonight is entitled Gifted on the Green Sheets, and of course we're talking about God's most inexpressible gift of Jesus. We're getting closer to Holy Week, and we're more thankful than that, we pray, than usual. I just have one service note, a reminder first of all, that all the music can be found in the hymnal in front of you, Lutheran Service Book, and the middle hymn, if you turn to page 7, notice we're singing their special verses for based on the gospel reading. And today, Lazarus, the raising of Lazarus, the verses for him are 9 through 10 and 4, 9 through 10. So we'll sing verse 1, then we'll go to the right-hand side of the page and sing 9 and 10, and then we'll come back to verse 4. It is a relatively unfamiliar hymn, but tune, but not as unfamiliar as the one it's scheduled to sing. So I picked a different one. So I'll be glad to sing all four verses by myself, but I think you'll like this tune too. It's a lot better than the one that's printed, easier, I think, than the ones that's printed, so be ready for that. Other than that, let's go forth, beginning with hymn number 915. Please stand. Today your mercy calls us to wash away our sin. However great our trespass, whatever we have been, however long from mercy our hearts have turned away, your precious blood can wash us and make us clean today. Today your gate is open, and all who enter in shall find a Father's welcome and pardon for their sin. The past shall be forgotten, a present joy be given,
A future grace be promised, a glorious crown in heaven. Today our Father calls us, His Holy Spirit waits, His blessed angels gather around the heavenly gates. No question will be asked us how often we have come. Although we oft have wandered, it is our Father's home. Oh, all embracing mercy, oh, ever open door, what should we do without you when heart and eye run o'er? When all things seem against us to drive us to despair, we know one gate is open, one ear will hear our prayer.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord is God, and He has made His light to shine upon us. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. O Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires are known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. We humble ourselves before you, O God, and confess our sins to you, and implore your forgiveness. Almighty God, merciful Father, we acknowledge our sinful nature and repent of our sins, those of which we are not aware and those we know full well. We do not love you and other people as we ought. We are often careless with your creation and heedless in choosing the proper priorities in our lives. It is our intent to say and do that which honors you. For the sake of Jesus, grant us your forgiveness, so that as your redeemed people, we may be fit places for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and may serve you in time and in eternity. God be gracious to you and strengthen your faith. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who loves us is faithful. He will surely do it. Amen. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. Because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. To God on high be glory and peace to all the earth. Goodwill from God in heaven proclaimed at Jesus' birth. We praise and bless you, Father, your holy name we sing. Our thanks for your great glory, Lord God, our heavenly King. To you, O soul begotten, the Father, Son, we pray. O Lamb of God, our Savior, you take our sins away. Have mercy on us, Jesus. Receive our heartfelt cry. Where you in power are seated at God's right hand on high. For you alone are holy, you only are the Lord. Forever and forever be worshipped and adored. You with the Holy Spirit alone are Lord Most High. In God the Father's glory, amen, our glad reply.
O God, by the suffering and death of your Son, you redeemed this fallen world. Grant eternal joy to your faithful people, whom you have delivered from the danger of everlasting death, through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Old Testament reading this evening is from Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, verses 1 through 14. Life is restored in the valley of dry bones. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones, and he led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surfaces of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord.
O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy.
If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared.
I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope.
My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning.
O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption.
And he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities.
The epistle reading is from Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 11, life in the Spirit through Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies, through his Spirit who dwells in you. This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. O come, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 11th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Lazarus is restored to life by Jesus. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of these people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, Unbind him and let him go. Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. So the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered the council and said, What are we to do? For this man performs many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. But one of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said to them, You know nothing at all, nor do you understand that it is better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish. He did not say this of his own accord, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but also to gather into one the children of God who are scattered abroad. So from that day on, they made plans to put him to death. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Christ, who shed our mortal life and ended death's long reign, who healed the sick and raised the dead and bore our grief and pain. We know our years on earth are few, that death is all. Bring hope that conquers fear. To weeping sisters worn by grief and mired in depths of gloom, stood watching where their brother lay within a rock's sealed tomb. When, Lord, you met them as they mourned, you wept compassion's tear. But Martha, sore with sorrow, said, He lived had you been here. I am the Lord of life and death. You answered Martha's cry, and all who hear and trust my word shall live although they die. You walk the path to Lazarus' tomb, you called him forth by name, and loving once again, from death to life he came. Death's power holds us still in thrall and bears us toward the tomb. Death's darkening cloud hangs like a pall that threatens earth with doom. But you have broken death's embrace and torn away its resting. Restore to life our mortal race, O Jesus, O risen King.
I have some good news and good chews. Well, they're more like cracklies, but kids will like them, I think. For all you young ones who want to come up and receive them, now's the time. And if you want somebody to come up with you, look, Madeline, you're going to want them. We could have sang that song, Day the Toe Bone's Connected to the Foot Bone, the Foot Bone's Connected to the Ankle Bone, the Ankle Bone's Connected to the Shin Bone. Doesn't look like you want to sing that one. Hear the word of the... Look what I brought today, macaroni. Do you want to guess why I brought macaroni? Did you hear the Old Testament lesson written by the prophet, written by God through the prophet Ezekiel? There was a big valley, and remember what was in the valley? Peanuts? What?
Bananas.
What?
Bananas.
Do you? I think you were going to say it, Ellie. Bones. Why didn't I bring bones? Because bones are kind of, as they say, morbid. Or, yeah. But these are kind of like bones because the bones were, as the macaroni is. Take one. Hey, by the way, you're going to love it if you don't really like vegetables. This is spinach. Spinach, tomato, and carrot macaroni. So, you know, we eat it all the time at our house. It's kind of good. You get your vegetables, but it's not, you know, like some of those vegetables that I don't think you like. Anyway, what happened to the bones? Remember? Just like this macaroni. If this macaroni doesn't have something, it's not very fun to eat, although I've been known to eat it when I was a kid. It needs to be cooked in what? Water, right? Water. And so the bones needed something. Do you remember what God put in them? It's kind of like water, but it's not in a liquid form. Kind of like smoke. He put the breath of God in them. And when the breath of God went in the bones, guess what happened? They lived. And they... Praise God for all the good things that he has given us. What happens when, if we didn't have the breath of God in us, what would happen to us?
We would die.
We would die. And even though we die, remember the gospel lesson? It says, whoever believes in me will never die. Because death is just an instant for us. Our souls go right with God to heaven, and our bodies stay here on earth if we die before Jesus comes. And that's the good news, that we get to live forever no matter what. We're never going to be dry because we always have the breath of God in us. Take that noodle with you and put it somewhere to remember to give thanks to God for all the breath that he gives us and all those other good gifts. Most of all, starts with J, Jesus bone connected to the Holy Spirit bone. Hey, I'm making up verses. Sorry. Holy Spirit connected to the Father bone. Let us pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the breath of life, the resurrection, and the life. Amen. The text for the sermon today is really the last paragraph of the gospel lesson, and we're focusing on just that one verse. Nor do you understand that it is better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish. A lame duck president was orienting the successor to the office of president, and he gave him three envelopes marked 1, 2, 3, and he said, it's important that when crises come, you open these envelopes in the order that they are given to you, 1, 2, 3. So the honeymoon period lasted for a little time. They say honeymoon usually lasts for 6 months. And lo and behold, a big domestic crisis came upon the new president, and he opened up the card, and it said, "Blame your predecessor. Blame me." And so the new president was delighted to put the blame on his predecessor. They do that all the time, they don't they? That woman you gave me started way back in the Garden of Eden. Don't blame me. We inherited a mess. Things calmed down, but after a while, there was an upheaval in the nation, a great domestic crisis. So the new president opened the second envelope, and inside was a card that read, "Blame my party." Republicans like to blame Democrats, and Democrats like to blame Republicans, right? Anyway, so the president did so. He loved to play partisan politics. About a year later, foreign policy resulted in serious problems, and so the president opened the third envelope, and inside the card read, "Prepare three envelopes." Scapegoat is the word for today. It's so nice to blame somebody else. It comes from the Bible, way back in Leviticus chapter 16. If you want to read all the big, hairy details about it, it's very complicated and long. But the most holy day of the year was the Day of Atonement. The high priest was the only day in the whole year that the high priest got to go up here. In the old-fashioned days, the pastor didn't even get to go up here. Or maybe like right back here. And that's why we consider this place kind of holy even to this day. And when he did go back, he had to have a chain attached to his leg because he was talking to the Holy of Holies, and the fear was that, you know, he'd be so much in shock or the Lord would take him. After all, he was sprinkling the blood of the Lamb on the altar to atone for the people's sins. That's part one of what happened on the Day of Atonement. And part two continued with the lamb. The priest would take the lamb, and he'd put his hands on the lamb and transfer the sins of all the people to the lamb. And they sent the little lamb outside of the city gates, and there it was slaughtered. A scapegoat, or scape lamb. We've carried on that tradition, although we don't do some of those other things to this day, right? We all like to have scapegoats. We all like to have somebody else to blame. I found a quote that said, "He who smiles in a crisis has found someone to blame." Chew on that one for a while. He who smiles in a crisis has found someone to blame. The blame game. You know what it is. When a company is experiencing slowing sales, guess what happens? The CEO gets fired. When the St. Louis Blues have a bad season, or not as good as they were projected to do, guess what happens? The coach gets fired. Scapegoat. And the honeymoon period might last for 6 months. It did with the Blues, didn't it? And it's still kind of sort of lasting, but the problem is not with the goat, it's with all the goats. We're all goats. Isaiah 53 says, "We all like goats, I mean sheep, have gone our own way." I read a little article about this new ad campaign. It was called "Rent a Scapegoat." So every time you have something go wrong, you just, like the priest did with the lamb, say, "Oh, you can, it's your fault," or "You have to suffer. I get to be free." You've heard of brainstorming, but have you heard of blame-storming? The definition is, it's a creative discussion for finding an appropriate scapegoat. Blame-storming. I also read a lady who was having trouble keeping a job, and so she was applying for a new job, and when it asked her to give the reason for leaving the last job, she said, "The company made me a scapegoat, just like my three previous employers did." Oh, we like to blame. And there is one redeeming time for us to blame, you will all agree with me. It's when we blame Jesus. Maybe you didn't ever think about it that way. But when he was up on the cross, he was there for me. For all the bad stuff that I think and say and do. He got blamed for it. Remember when he was reviled? He didn't even answer. He didn't say, hey, no, what, no fair. I had all Bedard's sins on me. What do you expect me to do? Caiaphas was a surprise prophet, wasn't he? His purpose was to save the Jewish nation, to save the Jewish nation. He didn't care that Jesus was God, if he thought he was God. And so he prophesied, it's better for one person to die than for the whole nation to perish. In this sense, he was right, because the only person who could die so that the whole nation wouldn't perish is the perfect sacrifice. And there was only one of those. His name was Jesus. It's interesting how God weaves his word and will even into secular, although they were religious, weren't they? They just got it wrong, and so do we. I heard a story about the Pope visiting America. I don't think it's a true story, but it's true, if you know what I mean. And he got held up in his meetings since he didn't have the Pope mobile. He had to get the limousine. And the limousine driver was kind of overcome when he pulled up to the curb, and there was the Pope who got into his vehicle. He drove really slowly. Even though the Pope told him he was late, he had to get to the airport fast, but the limousine driver was so overcome that he wanted the Pope to spend as much time as he could with him. So finally the Pope said, please pull over. And he asked the limousine driver to get into the back seat, and he said, I'm in a hurry. I need to drive. The speedometer went up very high, over 85 miles an hour, and lo and behold, the ossifer pulled him over. And of course, he also was overcome. And so, not really knowing what to do, he called his chief, and he said, I've pulled over somebody very important, and I don't know what to do. And he said, well, what'd you pull him over for? He was speeding, going over 85 miles per hour. He said, well, you know what to do. Give him a speeding ticket. And the officer said, sir, in all honesty, I can't do that. He said, why not? The law is the law. Who was it anyway that you stopped? The mayor? No, sir. The governor? No, sir. Is it a congressman? Is it the president? No, sir. Well, then, who is it? And he said, I don't know, sir. All I know is that the Pope is driving him to the airport. May not be a true story, but it is true. Jesus is driving us to the airport. We just get to sit in the back seat and enjoy the ride. That's a good image, isn't it? We forget that. We need to be reminded. And so, through the text for this day, we're reminded. You saw the sermon title, right? The goat becomes the goat. What does this mean? Luther would say. Does anybody know? Notice the last word, goat, is in all caps. We call that an acronym. Many of you know that an acronym is a word whose each letter means something. Another word. Does anybody know what the acronym for goat is? The goat becomes a goat. The greatest of all time. The goat that was sent outside of the city, just like Jesus was sent out of the city to die on the cross for you and me, in that act, which by itself doesn't seem like such a great thing. In Jesus' case, it certainly was. The goat became the goat, the greatest of all time. He wants us to treat him like a scapegoat. He bids us again to lay everything on him, and he takes it gladly. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for eternal life, for dying in my place, for taking all my punishment, for showing me your grace. Amen. God loves me dearly, grants me salvation. God loves me dearly, loves even me. Therefore I'll say again, God loves me dearly, God loves me dearly, loves even me. I was in slavery, sin, death, and darkness. God's love was working to make me free. Therefore, I'll say again, God loves me dearly. God loves me dearly, loves even me. He sent for Jesus, my dear Redeemer. He sent for Jesus and set me free. Therefore I'll say again, God loves me dearly. God loves me dearly, loves even me. Jesus, my Savior, himself did offer. Jesus, my Savior, paid all I owe. Therefore, I'll say again, God loves me dearly. God loves me dearly, loves even me. Now I will praise you, O love eternal. Now I will praise you all my life long. Therefore I'll say again, God loves me dearly. God loves me dearly, loves even me. As Jesus in the days before his passion offered prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears, we pray for those who suffer, those who are in need, and those who seek reconciliation. God of compassion, you know our faults, and yet you promise to forgive. Keep us in your presence and give us your wisdom. Open our hearts to gladness, call dry bones to dance, and restore to us the joy of your salvation. As your Son comforted the grieving sisters Martha and Mary, so your breath alone brings life to dry spirits and weary souls. Pour out your Spirit upon us, that we may face despair and death with the hope of resurrection and faith in the one who called Lazarus forth from the grave. Amen.
This week, St. Mark's lost its most chronologically gifted member, Luella Minch. And so we're praying for her family and friends who mourn her loss. Visitation will be on Tuesday morning at Lieferkoek Funeral Home in Redbud, and committal will follow at St. John's Cemetery. Thank you, O Lord, for all the happy memories that you brought to and through Luella. As sad as I am, I'm ultimately just laughing at all the times we had to share and all the things that she said. Especially, I'm remembering that one time when I said, Luella, I just want you to know that we at St. Mark's Lutheran Church and School are praying for you and praying for you. And she said, how nice. And so we continue to pray with thanksgiving for the promises that are true for her now in toto, the forgiveness of her sins, the promise of a resurrected body and life forever with you. We look forward to reunion in heaven. Lord, in your mercy. We're also continuing to pray for Don Smith, who has moved from St. Elizabeth's in Belleville to Sparta Community Hospital after surgery. We're also continuing to pray for Karen Williams, who remains hospitalized in St. Louis. Elda Fastino, who was hospitalized at Sparta Community this week, but has now returned to Randolph County Care Center with hospice care. Let us pray. Thank you, O Lord, for your gifts of Don and Karen and Elda. I know they know you are holding them in your loving arms. And in the meantime, as difficult as it can be, are trusting in your promised gifts of patience and hope and joy. Lord, in your mercy. Also this day, we are rejoicing with the Forsting family at the baptism this afternoon of Declan Shane. Let us pray. Thank you, O Lord, for Jeffrey and Raylan, who brought their child to receive the ultimate gift of the forgiveness of sins through water and the word. We pray that that gift will go with him always. Lord, in your mercy. We're rejoicing this day. On Friday, the Dieterdings added to their family of four with a fifth, a son, Jacob Travis. Let us pray. Thank you, O Lord, for the gift of Jacob Travis, for a healthy mother and baby. We look forward to baptism also for him in your time. In the meantime, your Holy Spirit goes with them, we pray. Lord, in your mercy. It's hard to believe it, but next Sunday is Confirmation Sunday, so we're praying for our confirmands as they prepare this week to receive that holy rite. Let us pray. O Rabbi, teacher, God, we thank you for all that you have taught Casey and Dalton and Destiny and Braden and Adrian, but most of all, of your love. We can never learn enough of it as much as we know. And so we thank you that that goes with them all their days. Lord, in your mercy. These and any other things you would have us ask of you, Heavenly Father, grant to us for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived
by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Our Father, which art in heaven, Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
We give you thanks, our Father, for the life and knowledge you have revealed to us through Jesus, your Son. To you be glory forever. We give you thanks for assuring us that we are truly members of Christ's body, the Church. Sanctify us by the working of your Holy Spirit, that we may continue in this fellowship and do the good works which you desire us to do as we await the final resurrection and fullness of your heavenly kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. The blessing of God Almighty, the Father who gave his Son for the life of the whole world, the Son who has revealed to us God's grace, mercy, and love, and the Spirit by whose fruit we are seen to be children of God, bless you now and forever. Amen. Let us ever ride with Jesus, follow his example pure. Through a world that would deceive us, and to sin our spirits lure. Onward in his footsteps treading, pilgrims hear our home above. Full of faith and hope and love, let us do the Father's bidding. Faithful Lord, with me abide, I shall follow where you guide. Let us suffer here with Jesus, and with patience bear our cross. Joy will follow all our sadness. Where he is, there is no loss. Though today we sow no laughter, we shall reap celestial joy. All discomforts that annoy shall give way to mirth hereafter. Jesus, here I share your woe. Help me there your joy to know. Let us gladly die with Jesus, since by death he conquered death. He will free us from destruction, give to us immortal breath. Let us mortify all passion that would lead us into sin, and the grave that shuts us in shall but prove the gate to heaven. Jesus, here with you I die, there to live with you on high.
also live with Jesus. He has risen from the dead, that to life we may awaken. Jesus, you are now our head. We are your own living members. Where you live, there we shall be. In your presence constantly, living there with you forever. Jesus, let me faithful be. Life eternal grant to me.